Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because chew rhymes with stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Basketball!
Bouncy ball.
It is Selection Sunday.
Yeah, is that when we're going to find out who's going to the NCAA?
We'll find out if Auburn, Tennessee, or Kentucky is a one seed or a two seed. They're all going to be that. Arkansas may find themselves a two seed as well. We find out whether or not Alabama gets to go. Y'all were set up to be in the tournament until Texas A&M made this run, and they may be bumping y'all to the NIT. Or they may just be one more SEC team making it. I'm telling you, man, the SEC is so good at basketball, you would think it's football or baseball. Think about this.
You know, it used to be it was all centered in Kentucky, Indiana, and that part of the country.
Right. And Vanderbilt, which is 45 miles south of the Tennessee-Kentucky border.
Yeah. So. But I think look at the attendance for the Auburn games.
It's unreal.
And it's packed out, and tickets are much expensive.
Yep. And, you know, and some people have said, well, their arena only seats about 10,000. You know, where Alabama seats, I think, 12,000 to 14,000. Mm-hmm. What's Alabama doing now? They're about to bulldoze that one, build one that holds 10,000 people. Because they looked around the country and they went, oh, all these best programs in the country, like Duke, for instance, Cameron Indoor Stadium, which was long considered the most hostile environment in college basketball, seats 10,000 people.
We'll just take those 2,000 seats and go put them at
Denny. Right. Go put them at Bryant-Denny.
Yeah, Bryant-Denny.
Right. Because, honestly, y'all sold out three games this year at Cameron. Or at, is that it? Cameron Coliseum? Yeah, Cameron Coliseum. The Auburn game. And it was 50% Auburn fans there.
Yeah.
The Baylor game, which was mostly Alabama fans. Not a whole lot of people came up from Fort Worth, Houston, wherever Baylor is.
Yeah.
Houston area, I believe. And then the Kentucky game, which 50% of the people there were Kentucky fans.
You think Auburn was surprised by A&M Saturday?
I think they were rusty for having 6 days off.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps it would be better.
It became a close game at the end.
Yeah, it would have been better if the first seed had to play the first day or second day. And honestly,
on the major conferences like the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, these tournaments are useless.
Yeah.
Auburn won the regular season. They're the best team in the conference. Where these tournaments are important are for the smaller leagues like South Alabama plays in, because only one team out of that conference is going, and it's the winner of that tournament.
Yeah.
See, Texas A&M may win this, and there's still a chance they won't go to the tournament other than the fact that they get an automatic bid because they won the tournament.
Coach Pearl said Thursday night that probably six teams from the SEC would go, and that and that A&M was the potential seventh team out there on the bubble.
Right, and they're saying, you know, and now A&M's playing in the championship game today.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, A&M.
And they have really lit it. I mean, they beat Arkansas like a scalded dog.
Well, and they beat Auburn in the first half.
Yeah, they really did. And, I mean, they had scrubs in against Arkansas, and then Tennessee had no trouble at all with Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never competitive. So – and that's the thing, is the top four teams in the SEC are the four best teams in college basketball right now.
You know, I
would take Arkansas, Tennessee, or Kentucky over Baylor and Gonzaga any day.
I think player attitude has a lot to do with whether your team wins or not at this stage.
Right, it does. And that battle that all these SEC teams have had to go through, that's just going to play out better when we get in the bigger tournament, when we play in teams that aren't used to this kind of struggle and everything.
Yep.
And what does this have to do with food, Mike? I will tell you.
Concession stand?
At the beginning, very similar. The price of chicken wings just went up to $125 a case.
Wow.
Now, to let you know, Charlie, before COVID-19, it was about $25 a case.
Yeah.
And a month before now, it was $85 a case. March Madness is the number one chicken wing part of the year, even better than the holidays
of March Madness. Back when I was a kid, you couldn't give away chicken wings. It was kind of like the leftover piece of meat that nobody really wanted.
Except Southerners.
Until they learned.
Until somebody started marketing. Buffalo wings.
Somebody invented buffalo sauce.
The folks in Buffalo is where it gets its name.
Let me tell you. Me and my friend, we went to Champy's the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have one wing on your all white dinner.
Yeah.
They gave you breast instead of you could not have two wings.
Right.
You had to have one wing.
Who would want an all white basket?
I don't know. I don't know. And let me tell you,
unless they just wanted wings.
There's nothing on there.
So are you saying there's a bunch of chickens out there trying to fly with one wing?
Well, I don't
fly too well with two
wings. There's such a shortage of wings out there, and the price of them.
The processing, shipping, all of it. I mean, everything is still affected by the COVID shutdown.
Right.
But the demand is up because people are getting out more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the holiday season before last, grocery stores didn't have any wings because this is how it should be. Restaurants get first dibs.
Mm-hmm.
They should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you go to the grocery store, if you're just going there for chicken wings, you're not grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go to a wing shop.
I know Roy, Butch Cassidy, and a lot of restaurants, they all serve wings.
Yep.
Roy does the 2-for-1 Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. And I don't even know if he does it on Friday. It might just be Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
But he's had to cut his hours back on that. And because, you know, they're hard to get.
Yep.
And plus, when people come in there and order those mistake wings, which are real secret, nobody's supposed to know about them.
Mistake wings?
The ones Mike talks about all the time. Nobody's supposed to know about them.
Why are they called a mistake?
They were a mistake when they were first made.
Yeah.
When they were,
is it essentially someone got up tossing buffalo? They didn't want it, so they threw them in the fryer to cook the sauce off.
Tried to cook the sauce off, and all it
which
did
works
was,
with a lot of things, but with barbecue sauce, it caramelizes it and seals it on there, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, well,
but you got to change your fryer oil more often.
Oh yeah, well he does.
He does.
Yeah, you have to. I think you have to use an entire separate
fryer for that. I could see that. Like a Hickory Pit does their barbecued fried chicken.
Oh, and you just mentioned something else. The fryer oil.
Right. Oh,
my gosh. That's gone through the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. It's three times now what it was a year ago.
And then you got to change it out all the time.
Yep. They've had a lot of innovation in fryer oil over the last few years. First off, getting away from the hydrogenated oils, hydrogenated oils, which are just absolutely terrible. And for a while, they tried to rename it fractionalized, but it was the same process. It was still illegal.
Is that Crisco?
Yes, exactly. Shortening. It's terrible. It's horrible. Lard is healthier.
Yeah.
And honestly,
what about granola?
I don't know what that is.
Granola oil.
Canola oil?
Canola oil.
Oh, yeah. That's just cooking oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's oil. If it doesn't look like saturated fat versus unsaturated fat, here's your visual clue.
Okay.
At room temperature, saturated fat set up as a solid, like a stick of butter, like Crisco. Unsaturated oils at room temperature remain a liquid. So there's the visual difference, stay with
the liquid and protect your arteries.
Exactly. Exactly. No, there are still some unhealthy oils that do like that. There's a lot of debate now about whether canola oil is actually healthy or not because it's a seed that we're not supposed to eat, but they extract the oil from it. So there's more research going into it. So it's probably got as much harm as it does help, which means it's a wash.
What about olive oil?
Fantastic, but you don't want to fry in it.
Okay. Is extra virgin any different than regular?
Extra virgin should only be consumed raw.
Yeah.
Olive oil.
On a salad or something?
Right. A finishing oil on a steak or as part of your dressing on your salad. Olive oil or pomace oil.
Poured over your spaghetti noodles.
Right, which is the second pressing of the olives. That one is fine for cooking with.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're up against a break already, Mike.
Already.
What's the number?
343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club texting line. And speaking of Irish Social Club, this Thursday and this Saturday are the Callahan's Irish holiday street parties.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day street parties.
All right.
You got to go.
I'm going. Spam.
Our oily show is going to continue.
Greasy.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When he gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine.
I love when he says
basketball.
So anyway,
hot wings.
It's time to talk about food.
Let's talk about
food. By the way, sip it. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show.
Sip and Chew with Mike,
And Stu. And we're brought to you by our friends at Bob's Downtown Diner.
Where is that?
That's at the corner of Fat and Happy.
Oh,
love man. And bacon grease. I was there this morning.
I bet.
Give me some peace and love and bacon grease.
Especially the
on
bacon.
My bacon.
On your bacon? You
on
had
my
peace
bacon.
And love on your bacon grease?
And our fine folks over there at Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar.
Wine and Tapas.
They have, on the 24th coming up, there's a foodie group in Baldwin County Foodies.
Yes, there is. They're
and,
on Facebook. We post to their
right,
page.
And they're going to be at... on the 24th of this month, they're going to be at Le Bichon.
Le Bichon.
And they go around and they'll meet, have a meeting place, and there'll just be a bunch of people who love to eat food and sip wine and other beverages.
They love to sip and chew.
They love to sip and chew, all like right. me and you. And so they'll be meeting at Le Bichon on the 24th. Also, our friends over at Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats.
Wholesale.
That new grandmother over there, Deborah Hodges.
She's bubbling right now.
Uh-huh.
She's like, tax season go away. I've got a baby to play with.
I ain't got time for no taxes. Not today.
Anyway. The taxes are too taxing. I got a baby.
Yeah. And then our fine friend over there, Roy at Butch Cassidy's, and his fine staff. He's got a great staff over
right there.
There
in the heart of Floshell.
Floshell for sure.
Yeah. And he is the mayor of Floshell.
That's it. Floshell.
Florida and Old Shell.
Floshell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That has a nice ring.
One of our callers called in and nominated that, and we're taking credit for it.
Yeah, we are. We're stealing it.
We're absolutely going to we're going to make the shirts and everything.
So let's
speaking of shirts.
Let's talk
you're
about
wearing a shirt.
Oh, yeah, look at my shirt here, folks.
It's yeah.
A provolone.
Provolone.
You know,
he's not talking to the radio, folks.
We're going to be trying to market some things, you know, with our stuff on it. And so we want to I'm modeling here.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a model, but I'm modeling this shirt here I had made.
Yeah.
And Stu's got one. It's over there in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and you know what it says? Provolone!
Provolone!
Is there going to be anything on the back?
It may be. Yeah,
sip and chew
with Mike. Yeah, I had this one made
a picture of a black hole. Just the center part of the black hole, not all the light that spins around it. Just the black part.
You won't be able to see it on a black shirt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so we got some marketing ideas we're going to do and create some T-shirts and we're going to show up.
You can't sway me.
That's it.
That's okay. Another one.
There
we're going to do some. You can't sway me.
But got some a birthday note here, Leanna.
Yeah, that's the one.
Leanna,
okay. Our very own Leanna Clark here from FM.
Well, Miller now.
Oh,
Miller now.
Leanna Clark hyphen Miller?
No, on her Facebook page is this Leanna Miller.
There we go. That's why I didn't recognize it at first the other night. And I went, hey, well, it's Leanna. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, our very own Leanna. She's
happy birthday.
It's her birthday. Yeah. We're not going to talk about how old she is.
Yeah, 22.
Because we like her and we want to stay friends with her.
She's 22, clearly.
That's right. She looks
22. Yeah, 22.
Absolutely. Also, another day to note is national days. You know, I like to do these.
Yeah.
Nothing really big, bunch of other stuff, but today is coconut tort day.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Coconut
tort I love day. Coconut.
Well, I like Mounds bars and Almond Joys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of the coconut
I like.
You
know, Mounds has chewy coconut and almond.
You can share half and still have a whole.
Yeah, something like that.
And I like coconut battered shrimp.
Yeah, coconut shrimp is very good. Coconut conch, if you haven't had it. You know, the little critter, it's in the beautiful shells.
Yeah.
I've had that done coconut style. It's very good.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, in Nashville.
But
that's weird.
What is a Caribbean?
They just go down to the ocean and pick them up.
they go down to Nashville shores at Percy Priest Lake and pick conch up off the side of the beach. We have had some fine World Food Championship chefs chime in on our comment section on our Facebook page, facebook.com/sipandchew. Garen Allen says, sup, boys. And Patty Clark says, hello, fellas. XOXO.
Hi there.
So good morning to y'all.
XOXO to you too, okay. Patty.
Now, you judged a cook-off.
Yes.
Yesterday evening. Had I been feeling better, I would have tried to make it down there. Right. But I figured, getting over a cold, I probably didn't need to be in a group of people.
Look at me.
Yeah. And, you know, it is competition season coming up. And we made the announcement last week that you and I, Sip and Chew and Mike and Stu, are competing in the Cajun Cook-Off.
Yes.
Well, we have another one. I haven't even told you about it.
Oh, Lord.
You could be there or not. I think I can handle it. But you probably want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
April 6th, I am competing in the Culinary Fight Club in Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's either 4 or 6 chefs by invitation.
Do you have to put on gloves and fight?
Oh, they don't want that. I hurt some folks. I growed up in Sims, man.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just a culinary cook-off. This is a blended burger, which I believe in this particular one, they tell you what it is. The blended burger, I believe, is the one that's like 30 or 40% ground mushroom mixed into it.
Oh.
Right. The whole purpose of it is it makes hamburgers healthier. I've not really tried one, but a few other people have done it. World Food Championships actually did some of it. And what it does is once you grind the mushroom up, it just absorbs the flavor of the beef. And pretty much it tastes like you're eating a cow burger.
Mm-hmm.
But I love mushrooms.
Oh, I love mushrooms too.
Yeah. So basically everything's already a bacon mushroom burger.
Right.
So are you competing or judging?
Competing.
Okay.
Competing just as Mike and I are competing in the Cajun Cook-Off.
Yes.
But you judged last night. You're getting warmed up. You're trying to see what's going on out there.
Where did you judge?
I judged the St. Ignatius Gumbo Cook-Off. And I had one of my fellow judges was our very own Danny Lifford from the show here. And Danny was real fun to judge with. And we kind of all agreed on the same things about the different gumbos.
Right.
And there were some good gumbos. And they had a meat category and they had a seafood category.
Mm-hmm. Did they have a green gumbo?
The Zerbs?
No, there wasn't.
Finch has been talking about that.
Right, and he had David Hubble on during his show earlier, didn't he, to discuss the history of gumbo Zerbs. So if you're interested in that, check out the FM Talk 106.5 podcast for Gulf Coast Gardening. You can hear David Hubble on there explaining the history and everything behind gumbo Zerbs.
Right. We had some very interesting entries last night, and they were not coming in by the time schedule they were supposed to turn in. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, one of the teams that won, they were team number 8, and I forgot what. I think they were supposed to turn in at 6 o'clock, and they were the last ones to turn in because they were too busy with people talking to people out there. Somebody forgot to take their entry. But they finally brought it in. It was the last one, and if you look, they all wrote a little description about them. Yourselves, it says, if you're not first, you're last.
Uh-huh. And Ricky Bobby.
And I looked at
trademark Ricky Bobby, right, Incorporated.
But I looked at that, and they were the last ones to bring their entry in. And you look at the gumbo and go, this is beautiful gumbo. It's almost like they knew they were going to win.
So was there one overall?
Was it Jennifer Botterford?
Well, there was different categories.
Oh, okay.
So, no, she wasn't. These were all mostly members of
the church.
Saint Nation.
And that was,
but they were corporations.
And we were contacted about that by Matt Golden, who is the owner of Lodi Beer Garden and West Mobile Lodi Beer Garden.
Yeah, and so. I'm getting to one of my segues as I'm getting something's coming up with Matt. they had a meat category and they had a seafood category, and then they had a people's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oddly enough, the people that were giving away shots of Fireball at their table, they won the people's choice.
I lost a chili cook-off one time to a team who had mediocre chili, but they all took their bras off and hung them from their tent.
There you go.
They won the people's choice.
I bet they did.
And I was informed that I was way out in the lead until they did that.
Well, until you took your bra off. So anyway.
His bro.
But Matt Golden did an entry, and he brought beautiful bowls. He brought his own bowls. These were beautiful bowls. And it was a big bowl of gumbo. And I'm sitting there looking at that, and I'm going, this, me and Danny and the other guy, we were sitting there looking at it, and we're going, this is beautiful. Look at the presentation. And I got a picture on my phone. But when we ate it, bit into it, it was pickled. Had pickled onions, pickled okra. I mean, yeah, pickled okra.
Yeah.
Pickled cucumber, pickled cauliflower, pickled broccoli. And it was a gumbo he come up with that he's going to be serving at his new restaurant out in West Mobile.
New
called
restaurant?
Called Margo's. Named after his wife.
Aw.
So.
She's a lovely woman.
But, yeah, we had a seafood counter. There were a bunch of ties, but we had to get one of the fathers to break the ties for. So.
Oh, yeah, because you can trust them.
But my favorite
You had divine overall, intervention, huh?
My favorite overall was that gumbo that Matt turned in.
Yeah, with all the pickled
stuff. But the other guy who won, the person who won the seafood, they did win as well. They were Mobile Kitchens. And the gumbo was beautiful. Had beautiful roux, had plenty of crab meat, plenty of shrimp, chunky vegetables. Perfect. Perfect.
343-0106.
Because they were last.
343-0106. You want to get in on the action.
Ringing and the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay. Stars are brightly shining and my heart is pining for the south each day. My sweetheart is waiting, cute and fascinating. Well, if I by the Dixie shore, that is why I'm yearning and my thoughts returning to Mobile once more on Mobile Bay. Heard it stole my heart away. Beside the sea, when she gave a loving kiss to me, she said goodbye. While the moon was shining high on that gleaming, beaming, gleaming Mobile Bay.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Alrighty, folks, we are back from the commercializing, and Cookie will be with you in just a minute here. We gotta talk about some other things real quick. She just mobiles her subject. So.
Okay.
But, so, the gumbos that you tried, you said there were multiple categories. There was a seafood. Which here on the Gulf Coast we think is traditional. It is not.
Yeah.
Seafood is a newcomer to the gumbo world.
Okay.
So the other one would have
I didn't realize that.
The other one would have been a hunter's gumbo, I would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah, which traditionally is what you would call the chicken sausage. That's more what real gumbo was.
Okay.
When it was in Africa because it was an internal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Small game birds, which were probably the wild predecessors to the chickens that we domesticate now. I have always loved duck and sausage gumbo.
Oh, me too.
Especially if you can get a good venison sausage, like our friends from Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats get during the wintertime.
Yeah.
I enjoy a good hunter's gumbo, especially the duck and venison I like to talk about. But most of the chicken gumbos that I have had just taste like chicken gravy.
Yeah.
With some stuff in it. And that is not a hunter's gumbo should not taste like you made chicken gravy.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of them that it was just like, very good gravy.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. It's delicious gravy. But did y'all have any wild cards, anything that was crazy?
Well, other than Matt's, yeah. That was kind of crazy and off the chain, but we all loved it.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, somebody turned in one with frog legs.
Terrific. Yeah. So I was telling Mike during the break, I want to do a swamp gumbo sometime with frog legs in it, gator tail, and this wonderful sausage that's made with a smoked ground pork shoulder and crawfish, which I have done in gumbo before. I did a gumbo demo on Dolphin Island for their gumbo festival that I called Mobile Bay Gumbo. And all of my proteins were things you would find Mobile Bay. So it was shrimp. Pretty straightforward. Oysters. The sausage I used was the crawfish sausage. And then I had duck in it.
Okay.
And I started with a whole duck, broke down the parts, took the breast meat, the leg meat, the thigh meat apart, rendered down everything else for the fat.
Yeah.
So I rendered my fat down. I use the duck fat to make my roux.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Ask Gene Fox.
Yeah.
Then I boiled the carcass and made duck stock to make the gumbo with. It was terrific. Just terrific. Mm-hmm. But that's my Mobile Bay gumbo.
Mobile Bay.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get on to Mobile. Cookie now. She wants to talk about Mobile, which I've heard of. I've heard of Mobile before. good morning, Cookie.
You sure it's not mobile?
I don't know. My weather app
or
doesn't
mobile.
Seem to know what it is.
That's what I was asked a lot when I lived a little farther north.
you mean like Citronelle, Chunchula?
No, Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's way further north.
Well, they considered us the South, man. They were going, you're from Alabama? And yeah. I was going, well, is something wrong with that?
I think some of those folks think the sun never shines in Alabama.
I know they think that. Yeah.
Well, Mobile is the rainiest city in America.
What did you know? And they were going, George Wallace.
You mean the guy that was going to be Bobby Kennedy's running mate till Bobby got assassinated? Did you know that?
They knew Billy Beer.
The whole thing of the University of Alabama segregation today, segregation tomorrow, that horrible speech, was planned by Bobby Kennedy because he was going to flip George Wallace to the segregation side and then name him his vice presidential candidate.
You know, I met Bobby Kennedy Jr., mm-hmm. But it was in Montgomery, Alabama. It was not in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's funny. You went to Washington, D.C., and you met a Washingtonian in Montgomery.
Say, okay.
All right. But go on with your story, Cookie.
Anyway, but listen, you guys were talking about oils earlier. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Alabama, I just wanted to say, look, how big of a crop are peanuts in Alabama still?
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Drive over to Baldwin County.
Well, then how come you guys weren't talking about peanut oil?
Because people have allergies to peanuts.
Say again?
Because people have deathly allergies to peanuts.
Well, but peanut oil, does that,
there,
I mean, that's the
there's
of the
two
high,
different
high
findings
point,
on that.
You know, frying stuff, isn't it?
It is a great oil for frying it. There is debate whether the peanut oil contains the compounds in it that are toxic to people with a peanut allergy. It was thought that was the highest concentration for years, mm-hmm. and now they're thinking the oil doesn't contain it at all. But as long as there's not definitive proof either way, the safest bet is not to use it in a commercial aspect because someone with a peanut allergy could have a reaction.
Now,
and those things have to be taken seriously.
I've watched peanut fields start and all the way through the end where they harvest them.
Right.
And it's an interesting process. And I've often wondered about people who are going to the beach,
right,
down the Beach Express, mm-hmm. and they happen to drive down the Beach Express on their way to Orange Beach and Gulf Shores mm-hmm. While they're harvesting, and you know when that stuff's in the air. And I wonder if anybody's ever had any problems with that.
Man, that's a good question.
You know, becoming airborne.
Yeah, because there are a lot of allergies that are like, and it's one of the ways you could tell if someone has a fake allergy or not, because we had a lady come in to an Italian restaurant I was at one time. She's like, what dish has the least amount of garlic? Because I'm allergic to garlic. Well, A, if you're allergic to garlic, you don't go to an Italian restaurant.
Allergic to garlic.
Are you a vampire?
So I got to wondering, okay. And I got to wondering, so I researched a garlic allergy, and there is one, and mm-hmm. it is deadly. It affects 1 in 1 billion people, which means at any time there's 7 people on the whole planet that has it.
Mm.
So I doubt she was one of those 1 in 7 billion. The other thing is, it's not just a garlic allergy. You also have the same reaction to onion. It's all the same family, the compounds in all of them. It is so acute that if you have it.
I thought that garlic was a member of the lily family, and onions are a member of the allium family. Am I wrong?
Probably. Well, that I have no idea. I just know that the roots of the garlic and the roots of the onion plant culinarily are in the same family. They're aromatics.
They got a lot of the same compounds.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the same compound exists in onions and garlic that can give you this deadly allergic reaction. Problem, the way you know that,
your dogs. You really should not.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Onions are not good for dogs. No matter how much.
If I had a dog, they wouldn't eat an onion anyway. Well, I hope not.
Well, my dog
would
eat anything.
My dog will eat anything.
Yeah, same here.
Especially if I'm eating it.
Yeah, but the way you know if someone is telling you the truth about that allergy or not is walk into Subway. Any place that has raw sliced onions, if they walk into the building, they're going to have a reaction. They don't have to eat anything.
Wow.
Just being in the room with it. And so if you tell someone you're allergic to onions and they can walk by you with a raw onion and you don't get sick, you're a liar.
Well, my thing is that I am allergic to bell peppers, not other peppers, but bell peppers and cucumbers. But here's the glitch in that whole thing. I can eat pickles, which are chemically cooked,
right.
I can eat cooked bell peppers.
So there's a component that is in it raw.
Who can't? They go and no, keep it away from me. You know.
Right. So there's a component. And is it an allergy or do you just have some kind of reaction? And I'm guessing something gastrointestinal.
A gastrointestinal, yeah.
Right.
Which made me go, I ain't eating this again. You know,
yeah. And my mother had the same thing with both bell peppers and cucumbers. And
if I understand that it does increase in some people as we become more vintage, shall we say.
Right. Now, that is not to say that you have an allergy. An allergy involves an anaphylactic response.
Yeah, would be a better word, right?
Yeah. If, you know, I've known people that they said, I'm allergic to tomatoes, but they weren't. They had acid reflux. That's not an allergy to tomatoes. That is, you have acid reflux.
Well, there's a whole bunch of stories about sulfites in wine as well. And unless you've been diagnosed by an allergist.
And there's the thing. If you don't have a card that says you have an allergy to something, you don't have an allergy to it.
Well, and even allergists don't all. I mean, you know, science is always developing, of course, and medical science especially, right?
So, yeah.
Okay, but my big question here is coming up. The Shamrock season, man, the Shamrock celebration, you know, it's like oxalic acid, of course, which, you know, I have friends who can't do that because of the oxalic acid and those sorts of things. Right. But any big super advice on what you would cook, what you are going to cook, and how you going to cook it?
Oh, for St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
I would honestly.
Valentine's Day. Come on.
As much as I love corned beef, it's not Irish. It's from the Polish Jewish community in New York City in the delicatessens.
Oh, speaking of which, I did ask you about that, and after I'd asked you, I remembered that years and years ago, more than I want to admit, I had actually made a corned beef from scratch, and. It was great. It was tasty. I mean, it was long before. It was while I was eating a bunch of meat, you know. It's like, to let you know that I have not always been as much of a plant-based diet person.
Okay. Right. Yeah. What do you think about me competing in the blended burger?
In the blended burger?
Yeah.
I think that's a really healthy. You know,
with the mushroom blended in.
I got into the plant-based thing is because of the health.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just that I'm trying to change the world.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, you have to be careful because, like.
I think we should all be trying to change the world for better stuff.
Right. But like this Beyond Beef, I don't trust it.
Health is the big thing.
Yeah, I don't trust Beyond Beef as being healthy. There's no in fact, there's ingredients in it that have not been tested by the FDA for human consumption.
All right,
we got to go, Cookie.
We got to go, hon. 3430106 is our Callahan's texting line. Hey. It's St. Patty's Day coming up.
Yeah.
Eat steak.
Yeah. Eat lamb.
I'm going to drink my lunch.
Cowpokes that come from the near and far. When you throw a few ribeyes on the farm, Roberta Duran ate two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael,
see,
you know this. But on the side, I've been toying with a little idea here and a little side project. And probably going to be an announcement on it here on the show soon.
Mm-hmm.
But you may hear something next week, but you know that I've been working on this.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. So hopefully this will come to fruition soon. But I'm teasing the folks out there. Just keep an eye on the Facebook page, y'all. Mine and the Sip and Chew one this week.
Okay.
Might see something.
Keep your eye on,
even
folks.
More exciting than Mike and I competing in the Culinary Fight Club.
And can't wait for that.
And the Cajun Cook-Off.
Oh, the Cajun Cook-Off, so I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, that is a great event. I competed in the first one with Lucky. I was at Lucky Irish Pub and Grill. We did my Creole White Chili, which I believe you've had before and liked.
Yeah.
Came in fourth. I'll take that.
That many?
Yeah, fourth. Scott Blackwell, I believe, was the chef at Boudreaux's.
Scott, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, back in the day. He came in third, but it was an impressive third because he had sent his sous chef with crawfish etouffee that he had cooked, and they burned it while reheating it.
Mm.
And that mug threw out another batch of crawfish etouffee and flew back over and was able to get that in the contest just in time to come in third place. That was impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder
they could
how
make
good
a movie out of that.
I wonder if the first batch hadn't been burned, he might have won. I mean, because that second one was on the fly.
Yeah.
But it was a great event. It was the first time we heard the band Stereo Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They were all 15 years old. Now they've grown up, graduated, gone their own ways. They have different bands and stuff now. But,
right.
But they were...
They get together every now and then.
Yeah. They were a very impressive group of kids.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it was hard to believe how young they were.
Well, the Ayers twins, they come from a musical background, so...
Yeah.
With their parents. And,
yeah. Kind of like my niece and nephew, the Harpers. Because their dad, Ben Harper, is the guitarist for Mithril.
Okay.
And he is the stage manager for The Sanger and Laidlaw.
Yeah.
And it's like that. Both of those kids are immensely talented. Ruthie, I'm so proud of, has sung at Carnegie Hall.
Cool.
She, before she graduated W.P. Davidson High School, she had already headlined the listening room, the people's room.
Yeah.
With her dad and her uncle playing guitar with her. So, you know, that's pretty good. Two really good professional musicians back in
here. Pretty good. Hey, we got to say thank you to the folks at Owl Sausage for helping us out, making the show possible.
Absolutely.
And the folks at Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar. And the guys down there, guys and ladies, down there at Bob's Downtown Diner. And Butch Cassidy's.
Butch Cassidy's Cafe.
Yes, yes. Right there on Flo Shell.
You know the little fun commercials that I just played around with that we played as Christmas presents to our sponsors?
Mm-hmm.
I got to do one for Butch Cassidy's. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Get to break out my John Wayne imitation, maybe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Or just my own accent will probably cut the mustard.
Uh-huh. Yep. So...
Yeah, but I think Roy's going to like it when I get it done this week.
Okay. Do you eat anywhere special this week?
I ate at Colonel Dixie, Charlie, in Sims, Alabama.
How close is it to the original?
A long way.
Yeah, it's in Sims, so it's not very close at all.
No, I'm talking about the look of the store and the menu.
Pretty dark. It's modern, but most of it is hot dogs and chili burgers, but you know they didn't do chicken tenders back then,
right?
But
are they
they got tenders now. And
the Dixie dogs about the same.
I thought so. Yeah. I had the giant Dixie burger Friday night, which the giant. Mm. It's so funny between fast food and real restaurants, for lack of a better term, is a quarter pounder is a giant burger in fast food.
Yeah.
But technically, it's not a burger. It's a slider. 4 ounces is not enough beef to be considered a burger. It must be at least 5 ounces. And every place I've been, I've done an 8-ounce burger. So it is funny to see giant and get a quarter-pound patty to me. But it was great. And the kraut and chili on a burger is just inspired.
You know,
it's chili, inspiring on the dog, too.
When I was at Davidson High School,
W.P. Davidson,
we would always stop at Colonel Dixie and get a chili dog or a Dixie dog, Dixie dog, or we'd get a chili burger. They were delicious.
No, and I still enjoy. And the options for sides is what has me excited because I know potatoes are delicious. Fried potatoes are delicious. And I would encourage anyone who practices Lent next year, you want to do something that's a sacrifice that'll help you, you know, to give up. Don't eat any cooked potatoes for Lent. That's far worse for you than beef.
So when you eat them raw. Don't cook them.
That is the – technically, that's the only way a white potato is healthy, is raw.
Yeah.
But the skin does have nutrients and stuff in it, mm-hmm. and fiber. But it's really just a bunch of empty calories.
Yeah, okay.
But the options at the Colonel Dixie include red beans and rice, potato salad, baked beans, things that aren't fried.
So you're saying scattered, smothered,
covered, all that chunk, top, kicked around, and generally abused?
Yeah.
May not be the healthiest thing. May not be
empty calories.
Oh, no, the chili
tastes good.
The chili's got good stuff in it. When you put hot sauce on it, hot sauce is very healthy.
Okay.
Yeah, now, especially
why,
people
it clean your pores out or something?
It actually cleans your arteries.
Okay.
Capsicum clears out built-up plaque and cholesterol in your arteries.
Huh.
They actually make capsules that are like pure cayenne extract in a powdered form that you swallow. You couldn't eat this.
Hmm.
You will still feel it in your digestive tract, but it will blow the clogging out of your arteries.
Yeah, yeah.
Spicy, especially salsa. Anything that makes your nose run is good for you from heat because it speeds up your metabolism, duplicating the effects of cardiovascular exercise.
Yeah.
It's not as good as actual cardiovascular exercise, but it's – eating hot stuff, sitting on the couch watching basketball is way healthier than eating just greasy stuff.
I put hot stuff on my oysters I got at Winslow's the other night that were bigger than my fist.
I'm going to be at Winslow's
Wednesday. Had to cut them in half. Charlie, do you have something there you want to talk about?
Well, we really don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to
I haven't read it yet, so I can't really comment on it.
Well,
but you and Mike can.
Yeah, we'll just hold it off.
You'll hold it next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's kind of a negative topic, but I think it's
I want time to reflect on it first.
Yeah.
So that I can give an informed opinion.
Okay. Works for me. Yeah. Does that count as a tease for next week's show?
Sure. Why not? Unless we all three forget about it. Nobody else does.
Which is entirely possible.
It happens. It has been happening for almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to my first wedding on the beach this Wednesday. My nephew is getting married.
Oh, I thought you meant of all the many weddings you've had, this is the first one you were going to have on a beach.
Hey, no, Margarita and I got married on Dolphin Island Beach.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you'll gain 2 years of age walking out to the beach on Dolphin Island now. That darn beach goes way out there now.
I mean, it's a barrier island, folks. It's not really solid land.
I know.
It's liquid.
I know. But well, folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Tip those servers. Servers earn your tips.
Oh, they are.
We're still in a horrible crunch time here with trying to get employees to work in the restaurant.
And if you've got experience as a server, go get one of those jobs.
Yeah.
And employers, it is long past the time for you to increase what you pay your restaurant.
There you go.
Amen.
We are decades too late in the process.
Yes, we are. Folks, what does my shirt say, Stu?
Provolone!
Provolone, folks.
And backwards, that'd be Loney Prove, I guess.
Dear delight, when he gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodie, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodie, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodie, drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me, drinking wine, spoodie, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodie,